From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan. It's Thursday, April 3rd, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can now also join us behind the scenes via our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Facebook page. Today, April Fool's The Musical, a Juno Ghostlight Theater comedy cabaret, is happening Saturday night, April 5th. We talk with some of those responsible for the silliness. Things are percolating for Folk Fest over at Devil's Club Brewing. Kelly Icardi from sister station KXLL is here to talk with Zach and Eric about the Boiler Room. And we learn about the Big Give celebration on April 9th from 5 to 7 p.m. at Spice Indian Cuisine in support of Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Alaska. Those conversations, music, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan AD have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. Tonight, you are invited to Brews with the News at Devil's Club Brewing downtown. It's this Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Stop by to catch up with the KTOO news reporters and hosts to ask questions, share tips, or just to chat about current events. They'll have some snacks to share and some non-alcoholic options as well. That's tonight from 5 to 6 p.m. at Devil's Club. And of course, Folk Fest is just around the corner, kicking off on Monday, April 7th. Juno Afternoon will have two bonuses for you next week. We'll have an extra show on Tuesday, April 8th at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO. And then on Friday, April 11th, a special show downstairs in the big studio, and you are invited to join us. It's an open audience invite, and we ask that you arrive by 2:45 as the show will go live at 3 p.m. on the radio and YouTube. And it will feature the guest dance band for the folk festival, Deke Dickerson's Western Swing All-Stars. So wear your dancing shoes. That's next Friday, April 11th, right downstairs here at KTOO. Listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. You can also join us for a behind-the-scenes live stream over on KTOO's YouTube or Facebook pages. You can drop us a comment or question in the chat, even, which is kind of cool. Okay. A night of zany and fun Broadway songs are in store this Saturday, April 5th, as Juno Ghostlight Theater presents April Fool's, the musical, a comedy cabaret. Joining me in studio to give us the cue to cue is Wendy Burns and Kelsey Bryce Riker. Gunnath Sheesh, Kelsey, good to see you. Wasiti, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Boston? Thanks for having us.
Of course. And Wendy, how are you, Gunnath Sheesh?
I'm good. Stoked to make some music.
Awesome. That's so cool. Well, it's a pleasure to have you both here. So let's figure out what the heck is April Fool's the musical. Who wants to start by giving us an overview?
I can give a rundown.
Yeah.
So, at JGLT, we're always kind of trying to cook up new things that are going to be fun for the community and reach new audiences and capitalize on the talent that we have here. And Juno is filled with so many hilarious and musically talented people. So we kind of decided that we could put together the idea of like a musicals cabaret. And kind of maybe incorporate some clowning and some stand-up and draw from, like, all of the different pieces of what make people funny. And so we've cooked up this show of a cast of about 10 people with a few special guests. And it's mostly musical theater songs from everything from, like, musicals from, like, we have Gilbert and Sullivan, like, you know, musicals from the 40s, 50s, 60s, Golden Age stuff, all the way through to things that have come out in the last couple of years. So it really is a super diverse program. But the commonality is that every song is hysterical.
Okay, Kelsey, I have a question for you.
Lay it on me, boss.
What makes someone funny?
Timing.
That right there.
Timing. I think that's the beauty of it, right? Is
yeah.
We all have our different senses of humor. Some people, you know, have a really a deadpan delivery of a good joke. Other people are silly, goofy, big characters, physical comedy, a quiet storm.
Oh, I like that.
Ooh, we love a quiet storm.
I just know, gosh, we have so many funny, there are so many funny people out there, and wow, we have so many funny people in this town and specifically in this cast, and just I am thinking of the very different senses of humor and senses of play. That a lot of these performers have, that I don't know if I can really answer that question.
It's hard to define,
just
right?
One
yeah,
thing. Yeah,
I think you said it. I think timing. I think it's also the sensibility. But because Wendy, you mentioned that there's like going to be clowning and some other things. So that's a great overview. Let's talk about who is going to be in the cast.
Yeah. So. I have a handy dandy list, thanks to Wendy in front of me. So I will be in the show as well as Wendy. We also have Stacey Katas, Stephen Ahrens, Annie Goodenough, Jack Scholes, Jocelyn Miles, Grace Lee, Kate Ross, Sarah Wallace, Taylor Dallas Vidic. We have Luke Weld on the keys, Zach Pease, whose name you will not hear the end of today, from my understanding, is going to be our fabulous MC. And as Wendy mentioned, we do have some special guests joining us as well.
We have Roblin Davis, Leia Skaggs, and Darius. I'm so sorry. I don't know how to say his last name. Do you know how to say it?
Menino, I think is what Kate Ross's text said.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
But I was at work when I read it, so I skimmed.
I know Darius and Roblin are very into the clown. That's probably the clowning portion of the evening. It's sort of a Devil's Club Brewing heavy day today because your cabaret is this Saturday, April 5th at 7 p.m. at Devil's Club downstairs. Devil's Club is our next guest as well. And, of course, you said that Zach's helping you out with this production. So that's kind of great. Zach will be on in just a few minutes to talk about that. What a cast, right?
Truly.
That's a really great cast. So you mentioned a little bit in terms of the different kinds of things. Can we talk about some specific songs we might hear or some specific bits that might come up? Like, what makes this an April Fool's musical?
Well, some of it, in the spirit of how we do things in Juneau, is that we were looking for a show we could do in April that would not ride the Folk Fest train too much, but maybe like fuel that Folk Fest fire. So that kind of brought in the date. And we've been wanting to do something funny for ages. And we're trying to think of, you know, like what is a kind of snazzy title that we could give to the show. And through bouncing some ideas off of one another, we came up with April Fools, the musical. And I think one of the things that's going to be really cool about the show is that not every song is from a comedy, but despite that, every song is very funny, and all of the performers are doing an absolutely dynamite job on them. But like, we have some shows like Les Miserables represented that is not what we usually think of as like a real laugh of a musical.
Knee slapper, as we
Exactly. Yeah. But so we're taking some stuff that's a little bit out of context and putting like our own spin on it in a way that also I think really honors like the bones of where the music comes from. For just like some shows that you will see represented, we've got stuff from Wicked, we've got stuff from Grease, Seussical the musical, Something Rotten, Hamilton, Book of Mormon, The Mikado, Little Shop of Horrors, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, Kiss Me, Kate, and Ordinary Days, I think I hit everything on that list. It's a diverse repertoire.
Now, I know in the past you've done shows where sometimes you're uncovering maybe songs that aren't done all the time. I know that's happened in the past, but this sounds like this is like some... This is like the heavy hitter, crowd pleasing, because the comedy numbers are usually like that, right?
I would say so, yeah. I think most of the songs, if you come to our show and you're any kind of a musical theater buff, are songs that you're going to have heard before, some that you might be humming along to, and some that we might totally encourage that on. So I think that doing this in Devil's Club and them having that great new space available downstairs is like a cool way for us to have a little more of like... unity between like the actors and performers and the audience, because it's a small space and everybody's going to be like right there. I think it'll be pretty interactive, and I think it will have opportunities for people to be just like really engaged and like to be a part of the silliness and hilarity as attendees, which I think is really cool.
Kelsey, as the MC of Juneau,
yes.
You interact with the audience that way a lot in terms of one-on-one, and some performers are comfortable with that activity, being able to sort of interface with somebody who's right in the front row. But some performers are like, I really don't want to do that. What's it like in a small space in terms of that energy and how you adjust that in terms of working with an audience?
Yeah, so... What's nice is, for me, being on stage kind of gives you a sense of power in that you get to choose whether it's a huge venue or a small venue. You get a choice whether or not you're directly interacting with the audience. I'm a performer who does enjoy that a lot. And so in a smaller space like that, there is the opportunity to literally make eye contact with members of your audience. So it's not this idea of, sure, I'm looking at someone, but in reality, I'm looking at a black auditorium full of people.
Yeah.
Yes, just this empty void of, sure, that's a group of people.
What if somebody's like, looking at you like, what do you do then?
Personally, I use that.
Okay, good.
Oh, I will call them out so quick, Boston.
Yeah.
Or you find someone who is into it.
Yeah.
And it sounds like we are going to have a pretty full house. So there will be plenty of opportunity for us to find the folks who are having a ball and get them in on the fun. There may be people, performers going into the audience for some bits.
Ooh, okay.
Yes. If not getting the audience directly involved one-on-one, I certainly know of some of these numbers that we will encourage people to sing along and have a good time with us.
Absolutely. And the cabaret is structured differently than a play or necessarily a musical, right? So it's a different number. Different people are doing, like you have probably groups or solos, and then they're coming in and out as they are doing their bit, right? Is there a theme for the night besides, I guess the theme is silliness and goofiness, right?
Really at its core, yep, you hit the nail right on the head, Boston. It's just a very funny show. But we do try when programming, and I can be like a big nerd when it comes to programming, we do try to put something together that has maybe not so much a story, but like energy swells. You know, it's got its rises, it's got its falls. This show, which I think is really cool compared to some of the recent cabaret shows that Juno Ghostlight Theater has put on, we have a lot of duets and group numbers. Nobody is just going to be like one and done on stage once. Mm. Everybody is singing together on some songs, singing a duet with someone else. There's a handful of solo numbers, but I think that our group numbers and duets actually outweigh the just one person singing to an audience, which I think kind of helps, especially in a small space, get that energy level up of everyone because you already have like multiple people on stage. So really the thing like tying this whole show together is definitely though like a love of humor. And I think it'll be really fun because there can be a level of candidness to shows that place comedy at the center that sometimes is challenging to achieve in a more formal performance, if that makes any sense.
Right. Are you all putting it together as a group or in terms of deciding what order, or is there a director?
Myself and Kate Ross are the producers of the show, and so we we put together the order of the program and kind of, you know, discussed what we thought, which zingers should go where and what gives people time to, you know, debrief before their next number and stuff. But so it's a collaborative process. But
yeah, and I think people who love Broadway musicals, they're going to show up and not be bored, right?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, is it sounds like it's just going to be a really fun time on Saturday night. And is there an admission? How do we get tickets?
So we are actually sold out as of about an hour ago. But wait for it. We will be opening up a select handful of tickets. I don't know the exact number yet at the door. So doors open at 6. Arrive early if you would like to get a ticket. We hope to be able to accommodate as many people as possible. But given the nature of the production and the amount of people involved in it, and I think people gearing up for Folk Fest are just like stoked for music.
A late show? Like an additional performance?
Oh, man, if people come and throw an absurd amount of money so that we can pay all of our artists to do more shows, we would love to do that. But ultimately, this is a fundraiser for our production of Five Women Wearing the Same Dress that opens in just about a month. So we're trying to keep it engaging, but also cost effective.
I got you. Okay, it's the April Fools, the musical at Juno Ghostlight Theater Comedy Cabaret. It's Saturday, April 5th at Devil's Club downstairs. Doors and drinks at 6 o'clock. The show is at 7. And, for information, I'll say, instead of tickets, go to JunoGhostlight.com. But maybe there would be a couple of notes or a couple of seats available on Saturday night. You just got to show up and hopefully be able to get in, right, which is kind of nice. Standing room only. I love that. That's the best. I really appreciate you both being here today. Gwyneth Cheech for coming in and telling us a little about it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Okay. Up next, more musical goodness on the horizon coming from Devil's Club Brewing with the Boiler Room and so many other events next week. KXLL's Kelly Icardi finds out all about it next here on Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansengress.com/careers.
I'm not afraid to right. That was Cry, Die, Share by the Rain Dogs, a local band, one of our faves here. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. My name is Kelly Icardi, and I am the new KXLL Community Engagement Producer. And I'm working on the nightlife guide for Folk Fest that's going to be coming out next week. And right now we've got Devil's Club in, and they're one of the venues that we're featuring. So they're hosting a week of a lot of different events. We're going to talk about some of those, from like dance workshops, band sets, Boiler Room DJ sets, and then a Sunday show from Dude Mountain, which is very cool. I'm joined now in the studio by Zach Pease and Evan Wood. Welcome, Zach and Evan. Hello.
What's up?
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Hi. Happy to be here.
So, Zach, you are the owner of Southeast Events, right?
Yeah.
Okay, very cool. And then Evan is the co-founder of Devil's Club.
Correct.
Correct. Okay, so how did this collaboration come to be?
Middle school, middle I think, school. Is where it started.
So this is, you could say it's like a long time in the making.
Yes.
Okay, very cool. I love that. So tell us a little bit more about Southeast Events and like how this worked out with Devil's Club, because this is the first year that Devil's Club is going to be hosting so much for Folk Fest, correct?
Yeah. I guess how it happened was I've had an events company in Juneau since I moved home called Southeast Events, cool. And I'm really now starting to kind of push and get it off the ground and really make it a more professional forefront thing.
Very cool.
And I'm taking the time to do that. And Evan and I were talking about making things happen for Devil's Club during Folk Festival, and one thing led to another. And I think I called him in like November and was like, we should probably get working on this.
That makes a lot of sense because this lineup is crazy. It's so good.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. So Devil's Club, how many years has it been open?
We opened in 2018.
2018.
Excuse me. And but this is the first year that the restrictions have been removed for our entertainment during Folk Fest.
Oh my gosh.
So those laws that came into effect a little over a year ago, this is allowing us for the first time to fully blow the doors open and engage in the community in the way we've always wanted to in this very special week and have as many exciting things happening as possible.
Yeah, that's very cool. Well, you guys definitely succeeded. This is a very good lineup.
Thank you.
And when did the downstairs part open and what street is that on, just for clarity? Because Devil's Club, the entry is on the top of a different street and then it's down on Front?
Yeah, it's
or
a,
not Front.
It's a very confusing building. It is on Front
it's
Street.
Very cool, though.
Because the triangle building is on the corner there, the building is shaped like a trapezoid, and
yes.
So it doesn't feel like when you're walking straight through, you walk straight through. But so our main entrance that everyone's familiar with on Franklin Street, we have a new entrance to our downstairs space on Front Street, just down the street from the old movie theater, next to Cordova's, across the street from the Imperial.
Great. Okay. So there's two ways to get in, and that's got kind of a big area down there, the downstairs. Where is most of these events going to be? Are they going to be upstairs, downstairs, both?
Yeah, both. So we're really excited to have jam sessions upstairs pretty much
cool.
all week, every day,
okay.
nonstop. We're going to have a designated jam zone for
cool.
people to come on in and play whatever they feel like they want to play.
Amazing.
Have a nice sit down, have a beer, play some tunes. And then downstairs, we're going to be having all of our coordinated entertainment. And so we have this problem at Devil's Club. We always think, how can we do things differently and more exciting and make it way harder for ourselves?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So we wanted to come up with some novel things. So we are starting the week off with workshops. So Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we're going to be having different dance workshops downstairs. We're going to kick things off Monday night with a Bollywood dance workshop with Nimi from
cool.
Spice. We're going to have beginning clogging on Tuesday with Annie B. And then on Wednesday, we're going to be doing a beginning two-step dance workshop with Joey Bosworth. And,
oh, my gosh.
And then those will be followed up by shows of that style so you can
cool.
practice your newfound talents out
oh.
on the dance floor right afterwards with
wow.
different bands. So, yeah, we're really looking forward
that.
To that workshop. So,
that's
yeah.
a great idea. That's going to be so much fun.
Heck yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, cool. And then you've got Whiskey Class and Rain Dogs on Thursday. And then Friday, well, actually, let me ask this first. Are either of you, Zach or Evan, involved in any of the events? Like, besides coordinating, are you performing at all?
Yeah, we both are.
Oh, my God, what?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
On Friday, I'm opening up Devil's Club downstairs with a two-hour live synth set. I'm going to be live synthesizing music with a drum machine and a bunch of analog synthesizers.
Very cool.
And then following that, we're kicking off boiler room style DJ sets in the center of the room.
Very cool.
Yeah, all weekend. So it's going to be a fun Friday, Saturday on top of a fun week, too.
Yeah. It's going to be great. It's going to be great if all of us can make it through this week, I feel like.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
It's going to be exhausting, lots of coffee.
Yeah, and for those who aren't aware, Boiler Room is a kind of style of DJ performance where the DJ sits or stands in the middle of the room. I think there's always been a lot of mystifying or confusion about, like, what is the DJ actually doing?
Yeah.
So part of what we wanted to do was put the DJ in the middle of the room, surround them by the audience. So if you've ever wondered, what are they doing up there? You can stand behind them and watch and see what they're doing on the ones and twos.
Yeah, that's very cool. I get a lot of questions about that when I'm operating my equipment as well, because full disclosure, I'm part of it, but... We don't need to talk about that. And then you're performing too, right, Evan? You're involved in the
My alter ego,
set.
Fancy Boy, is a DJ that'll be playing on Saturday night.
We'll be seeing Fancy Boy then. That's great.
Yep.
Zach, for those that don't understand what like analog synth and stuff is, can you explain a little bit more of like how that works briefly? If you can,
fine. Okay.
But then also you had some visuals too that are like tied together. It's very cool.
I have a video synthesizer and a bunch of analog audio synthesizers. And basically what you're doing is you're taking electricity and you're making tones with it through capacitors and other electronics. You're just taking an electrical signal and manipulating it to make sound. And that oftentimes people think, oh, well, it's just a bunch of like, grink, 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 grink. But it's all very tonal.
But it is also that.
It is also that. Yeah. But, you know, that's how old school keyboards were made. It can be a lot of things and not just bleeps and bloops, but there will certainly be a fair amount of bleeps and bloops.
I can't wait for the bleeps and bloops, personally.
Yeah, and then the visualizer allows me to take all of that electrical signal and convert it into visuals. So I'm going to be throwing some pretty wild little fractally... onto some projectors with a live feed from the room. So you might see yourself on the screen behind me if you're dancing up close.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Very cool.
Very exciting.
Oh my gosh. That's going to be very cool. And also downstairs in Devil's Club, there is a projection area too. So that's kind of been upgraded. There's been a lot going on with that. So how did you select... Well, actually, no, let me go back to boiler rooms because, Evan, you were kind of explaining what they are, but I've been getting a lot of questions, like, as I've been posting about it and stuff. Do you know where it started or, like, why it's called a boiler room? I see a lot of videos online, so I've seen it, but for those who might not know about how it started, even if you know.
I don't know how it started. I know that there is – so boiler room is a – production company, if you will. There are officially branded boiler room DJ sets. We are not doing that. We're just adopting the format that they've always done. I always assumed it was called a boiler room because it's usually a really packed room where the DJ's in the middle and like boiling from the heat of the audience. That's the vibe I've always got from how it got its name. But it's a very fun, performative kind of tweak on a traditional DJ set. And so we thought it would be a really cool way to kind of amplify what we're trying to do on Folk Fest week. And as like I kind of mentioned earlier, bring something new. And bring the music of the people, if you will. Seems like it would align well with Folk Fest.
Yes. That was actually leading right into my next question. So a lot of this music and some of the activities that you guys are planning is kind of different from the norm, so to speak, of what we expect for Folk Fest, which is kind of like bluegrass, banjo, stuff like that, which is super fun, obviously, and traditional. But tell me a little bit about like how you decided to do like DJ
Break
sets
it down.
Or synthesizers or folk music. What does
Break
that mean?
Break it down. What is folk?
What is folk?
What is folk?
It's the people.
Yeah.
The people.
This is all stuff of the people, right?
Yes.
And so to say that one thing or one instrument or one style is folk music to me is absurd. And I know that not everybody will agree with me on that, but that's okay.
A lot of
people don't agree with me on a lot of things.
That's
but
okay.
yeah, we just want, we thought that there was more opportunity for more stuff
yeah.
to go mm-hmm. on totally. During Folk Fest. Yeah. And so, we were excited to bring a variety of different things. While also, you know, we're holding true to the traditions of Folk Fest, and we'll be having some traditional bluegrass and folk music going on throughout yeah. the week. But we yeah. wanted to branch out a little bit and just see what happens, see if there's an appetite yeah. for it, and try it out.
I think
if
that's going to be interesting.
It, come, let us know that it's working.
Otherwise, yeah, come hang out.
Yeah, know. Definitely. They need some public feedback, so that's going to be all next week. and you can DM them.
Yeah, please.
So that's going to be all next week at Devil's Club Brewing. And again, there's two entrances upstairs on Franklin and down on Front Street, Trapezoid Building. That's going to be April 7th through the 13th. And it's going to be on Sunday. They've got closing out with Dude Mountain, which is very cool.
That's going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're very excited. When we reached out to Dude Mountain, they were like, Sunday, everyone's going to be really tired. And we were like, yeah, that's the vibe. So we're going to encourage people, bring Chill. A blanket, bring some pillows.
Oh. Get
cozy. It's going to be Sunday afternoon.
Snuggies.
Dude Mountain is just going to be jamming. They're going to bring friends on to jam mm-hmm. with them.
Oh, cool.
And so it's going to be super casual, loungy. Let's just savor the last hours of the long week together and then try to get our stuff together for Monday.
Yes. Yes. That'll be a challenge for everyone probably. Which event are both of you most excited for at Devil's Club if you had to pick one? And it can't be yours.
Can I pick his?
You can, I guess.
I'm most excited for Zach's.
Okay.
I think I am really excited for the Whiskey Class Rain Dogs.
That's going
to be a good night. Back-to-back sets mm-hmm. is going to be really, really fun, yeah. especially Thursday. It's like the start of the big push through the weekend. I think that that's going to be a hoot
yeah.
And a really fun way to start kind of the mayhem that is Folk Fest weekend. And then I'm also, of course, as an electronic music fan and as someone who's always really, really loved that scene, I'm super excited to have full-blown DJ sets all night for 2 days is just something that I personally is close to my heart and that I really love.
Yeah.
So those are, I can't pick one. So there's three.
It's okay. It's hard. That was a difficult question, but you guys did really good. I think it's going to be really cool to see different types of music like this during Folk Fest. And obviously I might be biased as well with the Boiler Room sets, but there's so rarely like even a back-to-back thing. It's like a lot of coordination and things like that in Juneau. And there's not as many DJs that like you could all be available on the same night, but you guys planned way ahead and you made it happen. So it's going to be great. And for that one, by the way, each person gets how many DJs are there? There's 10 DJs, and so each person gets how long?
1 hour. So from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. Friday and Saturday night, we're gonna have cool. DJs back to back, nonstop.
Amazing.
1 hour sets, 5 DJs each night.
How does that work?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Okay. Well, you guys should definitely come to Devil's Club all next week, but for sure Friday and Saturday. But just all week in general. Where can we find you guys if we wanted to see where the lineup is? Do you have a website, social media?
We do, yeah. We also have an app.
An app?
We just got an app.
Whoa.
So if you want to download our app, that
Very
has all
cool.
the info you'd ever need from us. And it's honestly a little bit tidier and easier to navigate than our website.
Okay.
But all the info's on the website as well.
And what is your website?
Devilsclubbrewing.com.
Beautiful.
On the World Wide Web.
World Wide Web. Love that. Okay. Well, thank you both so much for coming in, Zach and Evan, here for Folk Fest next week. And we will see you tonight for News and Brews. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us on our behind-the-scenes live stream on KTOO's YouTube or Facebook pages. You can even leave us a little comment in the chat if you want to, which is kind of cool. On April 9th, from 5 to 7 p.m. at Spice Indian Cuisine downtown, it's the Big Give Celebration in support of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Alaska. It's part of the larger fundraising campaign running throughout the month. And I am joined now by Sam Tayshoff, big from Big Brothers and Big Sisters. Gunath Chish, Ha'igudi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you here. Sam Wasaiti, how you doing?
Thank you for having me here, Boston. I'm doing pretty well.
Awesome.
Yeah, really looking forward to this Big Give.
Yeah, the Big Give. So it's actually part of a larger full month campaign. Is it the largest campaign for Big Brothers Big Sisters?
That's right. It's our largest yearly campaign. And we're trying to raise over $75,000 to fund our activities across the state. And we have just about $4,000 raised so far. And Juneau is the first of the Big Give locations. So we're kind of kicking the show off for everybody.
I love that.
Yeah.
So this event is April 9th from 5 to 7. So that's next week. Mm-hmm. And what's going to be involved in the event?
Yeah, totally. So we're going to be doing a raffle. We're going to have some door prizes available. And there's going to be a lot of time to socialize and ask any questions that they might have about the program. And then we'll have food, drinks, and plenty of activities to do. And yeah, it'll be a great time. We'll have some matches there that people can talk to. And then our CEO, as well as our community coordinator, Chloe, will all be there to answer any questions folks may have. And
I'm excited for that. So I think most people know, but for those who don't, mm-hmm. let's describe what Big Brothers Big Sisters is and does.
Totally. Yeah. So Big Brothers Big Sisters matches adults with youth across the nation, and specifically here in Alaska. We match adults with youth age 6 to 16, and these matches meet 2 to 4 times per month for a minimum of a year. And they do all sorts of fun match activities together. And ultimately, it's about providing the youth with a stable, positive adult mentor or role model that they can have. But really, it's something that anybody can do. You know, it doesn't take a lot. If you have 2 to 3 hours every week or even every other week, that's all it takes to become a big and to make an impact on a child's life and help, shape the future.
Absolutely. Yeah. So how do there's two versions of this, right? There's there's the littles and then there's the bigs. So let's talk about the bigs first. How do people become a big, or is there requirements? What's involved in doing that?
Yeah. So the only requirements are that they have a car and hold a job. And aside from that, no other requirements. There's an interview process. And that's kind of my role in a lot of these things. I do the volunteer enrollment and then the matching within the Juneau community. And so volunteers can volunteer online at bbbsak.org, bbbsak.org. And it's a great opportunity. It's a year-long commitment. So if you think you're going to be in the Juneau area for the next year, definitely recommend that you check it out. And it's a great way to give back and to really build community locally.
Is there an age requirement?
It's just they have to be 18 or older.
Okay.
So, yeah, we have college student bigs, and then we have other bigs that are like grandparents. And,
Okay. Now, if I'm a parent and I feel like this would be something cool for my child, how do I get them involved?
Yeah, so that's going to be the same website, and it's kind of a different part of it, but there's like a Become a Big section, and then there's a Get a Big section.
Okay.
And, so bbbsak.org, and
are there less requirements for the littles in terms of that?
Yeah, we try to accept as many littles as we can.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I love that. Okay. And you mentioned your role at the Big Brothers Big Sisters. What exactly is your title? What do you do there?
So I'm an Alaska Fellow. I've been working with Big Brothers Big Sisters for the past 7 months and for the next two. And, I've been helping support in doing community match activities. So We team up with a lot of local organizations, and we'll do cooking classes, art classes, movie nights, and we try to do one of those a month. And then, so that's my role, kind of facilitating those and making those happen.
I see.
Yeah, it's also the enrollment and matching side of things with the volunteers.
Awesome. And when you, did you come to Juneau for this fellowship?
I did.
Where are you from?
I'm originally from outside of D.C., McLean, Virginia.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I just kind of read about this. One of my buddies told me about it, and I was like, that sounds like an amazing opportunity. And,
you said, I want to go to Juneau, Alaska.
Yeah. That's
pretty great.
Honestly, it's, the Alaska Fellow Program is really cool, and I mean, it's not what I'm here to talk about, but I'm really glad for this opportunity to come up here, and I've been really enjoying working with Big Brothers Big Sisters. They've been an amazing organization and some really great people.
So let me just get this straight, because I want to make sure. I know we're talking about the big give today, but it is cool, this Alaska Fellows program, because there might be other people interested. Yeah. Alaska Fellows is not part of Big Brothers. It's something else, right?
Right. It's something else. It pairs young professionals with nonprofits across the state. And it's really for anybody either right outside of undergrad or outside of graduate school. They can apply to it, and they can be matched anywhere in the state with a local nonprofit. And,
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll I did not them. Know about that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And so, well, welcome to Juneau, at least for a couple more months.
Yeah. Thank you. Honestly, I think I'll be coming back.
Yeah.
This place is so magical.
It's pretty great. What is it that you're hoping to do in the field, Sam?
In the field?
In the future, yeah.
Yeah, I think I want to become a teacher. That's really where I'm feeling my calling, and kind of helping youth through this and doing the community building with Big Brothers, Big Sisters has really sort of helped me to realize that. And I really look forward to teaching probably at the middle school level, doing STEM things.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, so we have this Big Give event. It's part of the whole month of giving to, this is the big month where the organization Big Brothers Big Sisters does their big push to raise the money that, I guess, what does the money go towards in terms of, does it go directly towards helping do the activities that the bigs are doing with the littles, or how does that work?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it goes towards that. It goes towards maintaining the support system that we have in place. And then a lot of it, goes towards those activities that we do and our various partnerships.
Well, you can't go wrong having an event at Spice Indian Cuisine, right?
Oh, honestly. They have such a great space. And I went to their Holi celebration, and that was amazing.
Did you get thrown with the colors? Did you get colors on you? That's always really fun. Yeah.
It was a great time. And honestly. Just for a little clarification, it's in the gallery that's next door. So like the Spice Cafe.
Cafe next door, right?
Right.
Okay,
the restaurant itself.
Yeah, but, people are eating dinner. But this will be happening at the cafe, the Spice Gallery, 112 North Franklin Street. It's Wednesday, April 9th from 5 to 7 p.m. And you said there's going to be like activities. So I guess who should be coming to this event?
This event is open to anybody. It's definitely kind of our big push for donations. So we also had the big social back in January at Amalga, and we had over 50 people show up to that, which was amazing.
Nice.
And, and that one was really about the volunteer recruitment and things like that. This one's more about meeting that fundraising goal. But as with all of it, we're definitely focused on the recruitment and just building that community here in Juneau.
I love that. And the website, one more time, Sam?
The website is BigBrothersBigSistersOfAlaska.org, BBBSAK.
Excellent.
BBBSAK.
BBBSAK.org. Right. And again, it's the Big Give. It's next Wednesday, April 9th from 5 to 7 p.m. Sam, thanks so much. And thanks for coming to Juneau and doing this work and helping the children. I love it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Boston.
Really appreciate
it. Good
cheese for being here today.
Thank you.
Okay, up next, we're going to listen to this week's episode of Our Living Lands from Native Voice One. This is Juneau Afternoon from KTOO.
This is are living lands, and I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Buffalo are a key species for the environment and indigenous communities. Our living lands producer, Daniel Spaulding, spoke with Don Sherman, the executive director of the Tonka Fund and a member of the Lakota, Shawnee, and Delaware tribes about the importance of returning buffalo to indigenous land.
The return of buffalo to ancestral lands is a powerful moment for many indigenous nations. Can you talk about the work that Tonka Fund does, and what does buffalo mean to the Tonka Fund and how their return impacts cultural revitalization efforts?
Our mission at Tonka Fund is to return buffalo to the lands, lives, and economies of indigenous peoples. So Tonka Fund was born out of Kyle, South Dakota, which is on the Pine Ridge Reservation. And because the buffalo was part of who we are, it's our ancestor, it's our relative, we saw the need for our ranchers that they just didn't have access. You know, we're in a huge 2.9 million square acres, and there's cattle all around us. Like, we're in a protein factory, but there's no buffalo. You know, none of our relatives are, you know, there are very few of our relatives on that land. So we saw that, and they didn't have access to get that buffalo into the market too, right? If they wanted to feed their people, it leaves the reservation and it may never come back, that meat, right? So we saw that our ranchers did need support, and that buffalo deserved to be on this land because they are the keystone species. And by returning the buffalo, you revitalize the culture, right? So bringing that back brings all of that connection back that we had with the buffalo. And that's our role there, is we're stewards to the buffalo who are the voiceless and giving them the voice, and we're stewards to those ranchers to try to assist them bringing those buffalo back to the lands and to the different cultures, because we represent probably 10 tribes right now in Tonka Fund, and we'll be adding more all the time throughout the year.
What are some of the biggest challenges faced in, you know, making these buffalo restoration efforts a reality, and also what are some of the biggest successes that you've seen this far?
So it's the access to land, the access to the capital, and then the opportunities that were not given to us that were given to the rest of the country while we were sitting without those opportunities. And then the great things, I would say, watching those buffalo run on the land for the first time in 200 years. One of our ranchers, she's up in Cheyenne River, got buffalo this year, and she got some yearlings, and it was the first time they've touched her family's land in 200 years that buffalo's ever touched that grass. So to see that, it still gives me goosebumps. We've been in this for 12 years, and I have been, and just to watch those buffalo and to see the smile on our people's faces, and to know that that's where they belong, that's where our relatives belong, is on this land.
That's awesome. And that kind of leads into my next question that I had is, you know, buffalo play a crucial role in maintaining healthy ecosystems, and how does their introduction contribute to land restoration and biodiversity in, you know, the regions that they're being released in?
They were built for this land, and we've all heard their hooves aerate the land. It helps penetrate the soil to help aerate it, but also it gets them down into that seed bank, which most people don't understand, within, you know, the grass prairies and stuff. And, you know, 6 to 8 feet down, there's a seed bank of historical seed. And as they're walking, right, it's distributing, and it feeds the birds. You know, they have a symbiotic nature to many animals, such as the black-footed ferret and the magpie. And so without the buffalo, those animals pretty much almost went extinct. When the buffalo went away, the ferrets were, you know, and they're just now getting reintroduced again over these last many years. So it's really that symbiotic nature. They graze based on the seasons and their diets, so they don't overgraze and down to the root. That wallowing creates water holes for amphibians and bugs and other animals to come and eat. So as they're moving through the grasslands, you can actually see the changes that happen over many years of, you know, the return of natural prairies, natural grasses, and different types of animals.
And lastly, what does the future look like for buffalo restoration, and how has, you know, climate change impacted these efforts that the Tonka Fund does?
Buffalo are pretty resilient, just like our people. We're very resilient, so they are adjusting to these extreme changes as far as the cold, the floods, and, you know, the heat and things such as that. The main thing is just giving them enough space and healthy food and water. So I would say the future looks really bright. The collaborations between groups, DC, government, NGOs, nonprofits such as ourselves are all really collaborating to make sure that we keep these animals on the land, because we see how needed they are, because they're our relatives, right, and our ancestors, and they deserve the same opportunity we had.
Tune in next week for more stories about how climate change affects tribal communities. I'm Antonia Gonzalez for Our Living Lands, a collaboration of Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, Native Public Media, and the Mountain West News Bureau.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
For KTOO, I'm Mike Lane. Today is Thursday, April 3rd, and today's sunrise was at 6:18 this morning. Sunset will be at 7:44, a total of 13 hours, 26 minutes, and 35 seconds of daylight today, a gain of 5 minutes and 5 seconds over yesterday. And taking a look back at this day in 1913, the Princess Sophia hit Sentinel Reef, but floated off after 2 hours and proceeded on to Juno. 5 years later, she was wrecked on close-by Vanderbilt Reef with the loss of all 343 people on board. That number varies. That's a look back at this day in 1913 in Juneau. This is KTOO.
And that's Mike Lane, our morning edition host. You can join Mike every morning from about 5 to 6 in the morning all the way up until 8:30, Monday through Friday, right here on KTOO. That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. We have a great show tomorrow. KXLL's Kelly Arcardi will be back to preview the return of the KTOO Folk Fest Nightlife Guide, plus a preview and some live music from the Hydrate and Caffeinate series at the Pottery Jungle. Plus, Scott Hamilton, gold medal skater, is in town for the Skate to Eliminate Cancer event this Friday and Saturday. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon or join us on our live streams on KTOO's Facebook and YouTube pages. I'm saying hi to JBO Audio. Hello, Juno Afternoon. Thank you so much for listening in on the show. We really appreciate it. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Cheesh, and have a joyous Juno evening.
Live and local, KTOO 104.3 Juno and KAUK 91.7 Juno, Auk Bay.